It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Just like every Sunday morning, we're here, 9 to 11. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Ryan Ely here as well to take your phone calls, your questions. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK on a weekend where we've got the North Carolina Tar Heels, the Tar Heels of North Carolina. In the national championship, they just won last night in one of the final four games. It's Carolina versus Notre Dame, so I'm sporting my Carolina basketball long sleeve tee. Excited to be able to do it. Excited to be a Tar Heel today. Well, excited every day, but happy for the Heels and all of you Heels listening. Well, we're going to the dance. It's a big deal. So good morning, and we're playing Villanova. So. That's actually near my stomping ground as a child. So I grew up kind of like in Villanova, but not today. Not today. What's happening this week in the world? Well, first of all, probably the most beautiful day you could ever see. Sunny today. 0% chance of rain. High in the mid-60s, low 40s. And of course, stay tuned. Atlanta's most accurate, dependable forecast comes up here at the quarter and the bottom of the hour. And, of course, Atlanta Morning News. Tune in for Kirk Mellish's forecast. Brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. So, with that, I want to talk about... So, I would say that here we just closed out a third quarter, and that's exciting in itself. And this has been just an unbelievably erratic roller coaster of a quarter. But at the same time, I want to fast forward to the theme for today, and I want to talk about not just yield, not just dividend yield and dividend payments, but a really important topic that has to do with your long-term yield. So it's not just the dividend yield you get today on a company. It's the dividend yield that same original purchase is giving you in 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years. So if you're not excited about 3% today, which I would contend a 3% dividend is still pretty darn good, particularly in an interest rate environment where money markets pay virtually zero. So remember, the world has to be relative interest rates, 2.5% to 3.5% just in a stock dividend yield. Pretty attractive. But imagine you just holding that same company and that same company slowly ratcheting up their dividend every year by 5 cents or 10 cents. 15 cents a year. If you fast forward, if you've got a company that's just kind of plodding along, your 3% yield, before you know it, could be a 7 or an 8 or a 10% yield in accordance to your original cost. And it's a very important concept called yield at cost, yield at original cost, yield at original price, whatever you want to call it. It's a really critical idea within investing that gets lost because it takes time for it to slowly grow and evolve and expand over time. So you don't notice it in a quarter or even a year or two. But if you really look back and do some numbers like I'm going to do today with you, I have a couple examples. I have three very important examples. I've got a defense company, a discretionary company, and then the general S&P 500. I want to show you what the yield has done over the last several years and how it's grown over the last, let's say, decade, 10, 15, and 20 years. So with that, good morning. Welcome to all the global churn and the global chaos of the world. And that all continues here in 2016. So much emotion in this market. There's so many cross currents that are, they're trying to throw investors off balance. And that just continues to get, that never subsides. It never goes away. It'll probably only get busier, if you will, and there'll be more things and more distractions to keep you from understanding and doing well within markets. We were talking the other day, and someone said that if you're you'd be busier than a one-armed cat trying to catch a fish through a hole in the ice, trying to figure all this out. I think that's a foghorn leghorn quote. I'm not sure. But anyway, we're here to help. We're here to help figure it out and catch the fish, if you will. So the good morning, the calls in the studio today, 404-872-0750. Here, questions, money matters. What do we like to talk about with you? Really, anything that's money related, if you're looking for just kind of a second opinion, a new direction, or you're at a crossroads and you're trying to make a and you're arguing, let's say, with your spouse, maybe we're a tiebreaker vote, just to give you an objective opinion on which direction might be the very best for you when it comes to a financial decision. So whether it's a pension about a pension versus a lump sum payment, or a lump sum versus a no sum payment, maybe you're thinking about college or an annuity or a mutual fund or an ETF, exchange traded fund. Have you done that transition? Are you familiar with what an ETF is, the benefits over a mutual fund, and vice versa? How about just a life event that'll force you to take another look at what you're doing? Maybe you're paying too much for financial advice. Maybe you're loaded down with a bunch of fees and you're not exactly sure if you are or if you're not. Well, I'll let you know if I think it's appropriate or not. Maybe it's a 401k question. So if you have a question about your particular retirement plan at work, 401k or a 403b at work, or the TSP plan, or an IRA or a Roth, or maybe you just want to know what to do with cash in the world that we live in, and you've got cash sitting there doing nothing. What do you do with your safe money? And then maybe you have a question about how do you produce income without buying an annuity? And as you know, I'm not a big fan of annuities. And there's a gigantic universe, so not all annuities are created equal. But as you know, I'm not a fan of this. How do you generate an income without buying a product to try to help you do it? So the number here for those questions, we're live here for the next 2 hours here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we are on a mission here in Money Matters, as it's always been. We are here to be a resource for you and a place for you to get objective answers to your financial questions, your investment questions. And that's the fun part about Money Matters. It's your questions back and forth, our conversations that we have here are, I would say, fantastic. We have some really, and even if they're easy general questions, if you're thinking it, there are probably 1,000 other people that are wondering the same exact thing or some iteration of the same worry or question that you have in your head. So anyway, we're happy to talk about that this morning. We'll open up the phone lines, 404-872-0750. Now, let's talk about 2016 so far, because we just ended the first quarter. And we started out, though, remember, with the fears of recession, and oil was cratering, and the stock market was following suit, kind of locked hand in hand. And by the way, this week, interestingly, one of the first times we've seen in a very long time where the oil market and the stock market disconnected. So oil was down again this week, down about 7%. The stock market is actually up close to 2% this past week to close out the quarter and start into April. But interesting that dynamic for the first time this year really finally stopped. But most of 2016, it's been oil stocks in lockstep. So down for the first six weeks with oil. It looked like there was no bottom. Oil got down to $26 a barrel, almost daily, this daily slide. And stocks followed suit. Then oil bottomed on the 11th or 12th of February, and stocks effectively bottomed at that same time. So we had this gigantic downdraft followed by a gigantic snapback of the rubber band, and here we are in the very beginning of the second quarter for 2016. And the market's back up, not by a lot at all, but up significantly from where we were 6 or 7 weeks ago. And for the year, Dow Jones up 2.1%, S&P 500 up 1.4%. So after all that fear and all that angst and all that calamity, here we are, and we're actually net positive for the year. And I know it's been confusing, and I know it's been heartbreaking to get here, but that's a market, and that's the equity markets, and then nobody said it was easy. So we haven't had a recession, by the way. So you go back to the beginning of 2016, oh my gosh, we're going to the recession, Wes. The world looks like it's falling apart. China's slowing down. That means oil's slowing down. That means the U.S. has to slow down too. Well, hasn't happened. In fact, quite the contrary of a recession. We just added another 215,000 jobs for March, just on this Friday jobs report. Unemployment rate, 5%. In fact, that ticked up a little bit from 4.9, only because we have people, even more people now, jumping back into the labor force. And that unemployment rate, that's just a numerator, denominator. It's just a simple math. So when you get a bunch of new people coming to the labor force, it actually ticked up the unemployment rate by a tenth of a percent. So now we're at 5% unemployment rate. So we have this big drop January 1st to February 11th, down 11% for markets, and up 13%, and now up 1.4% for the year S&P 500. Emerging markets, by the way, another huge turnaround. Emerging markets were down 10% at one point this year, around that February nadir for the market, and they finished the quarter up a full 6%. So we had a 16, 17%, 18% snapback with emerging markets. Now, a lot of that's tied back to oil, because many of these emerging market economies, I think of Brazil, are very much tied back to the price of oil, because they're so heavily reliant upon the price of oil in the oil industry. So that's part of that is just an oil rebound. All the while, if you've been an investor through all of this storm for the last quarter, really it's gone on for more than a quarter. It's been really the last 2 years. All the while, at least you've been getting dividends and you've been getting income, and that's continued to come in. As we talk about dividends, before we're going to go to a quick break in a second, but one of my favorite quotes from Geraldine Weiss said, "Dividends don't lie." So in order for a company to pay a dividend, it's got to have the money to pay it with. You can't have this accounting sleight of hand like you can do with earnings. So as far as dividends are concerned, cash is either there or it's not. And if a company pays a dividend, it has to have the cash in which to pay the dividend. It's that simple. So it's not as though this is hiding in plain sight. It's here. It's not necessarily that exciting. I think what's a more exciting concept is what we'll talk about today. And that brings me to yield at cost. And we will talk about that straight ahead. Quick news, weather, traffic, your phone calls, then the very important concept, yield at cost, straight ahead, right here, Money Matters, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Let's go to the phones, 404-872-0750. Mark joins us from Kennesaw. Mark, good morning. How can we help?
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much for all you do, first of all. My wife and I, we decided to listen to your shows or listen to other things. And we wanted to find a custodian here in Atlanta, Kennesaw area, to help us with a self-directed IRA or 401k. I just wanted some help with that.
Oh, got it. Now, when you say self-directed, are you talking about just investing in stocks and mutual funds or other things?
Well, we were thinking, I'm a licensed realtor. I was thinking of buying some long-term, holding some rental properties.
Oh, the rental properties inside of real estate. Got it. Okay. There are several custodians around town that'll do that, Mark. I will tell you that this is an interesting thought or an interesting question. It hasn't come up for a little while. I'm a huge fan of IRAs, of course, and every derivation of that. So a Roth, a regular IRA, a SEP IRA, these are great vehicles. They're great legal structures is really what they are, in order to invest tax deferred and then effectively either pull money out tax-free or hopefully in the future at a tax-advantaged rate. You invest in an IRA today because you get a little tax deduction typically, and then you pull it out when you're in a lower tax bracket. The problem I usually find, though, with putting real estate inside of one of these things is that there's a lot of administration to try to keep up with the valuation of the property, and then custodians have to charge a lot administratively in order to do that. And the way I look at it is real estate, and you probably know this, of course, is already a really taxed advantaged investment. So whether it's your primary residence, there's a lot of tax advantages there. Whether it's a rental property, there's a lot of tax advantages there. So I think what you're doing when you have an IRA that then you also have real estate inside it's too many cross currents, and you end up overpaying for something that you could be getting outside of an IRA. So I don't recommend taking real estate and putting it inside of self-directed IRAs. I think IRAs are for stocks and bonds. Do your real estate outside of that. You're listening to Money Matters right here on WSB.
50 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss for the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a beautiful Sunday morning. Doesn't really get a lot better. Sunny, 0% chance of rain. Is it really, can there be a 0% chance of rain? High in the mid-60s, low 40s. Weather brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, certified financial planner here every Sunday. Ryan Ely with me as well to take your calls and questions. Try to figure out the world that we live in, the roller coaster stock market that we're all subjected to if we're investors, period. That's the way it is. Let's not fight the game. Let's just figure out the game and play it a little bit better than the masses. And if we can do that, we're going to be in great shape. And it takes the control of our behavior and our emotion more than anything. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll go to the phones. I'll start with Rick, who joins us from Northern Atlanta, North Georgia. Rick, good morning. How can I help, man?
Hi, Wes. Great program. I've been listening for years. I also read your book, which is one of the best books that I've read on saving in general and saving for retirement in particular.
Money and happiness, too. Let's not forget that part of it.
Yes.
And that's like music to my ears when people say that. So God bless you. Thank you. So where does this fit in with you and how can I help?
Well, I guess my question is about parameters. And I've had this question in the back of my head for years and years. Anytime I read or listen to something that involves retirement planning and figures and things like that. In your book, you indicate that $500,000 would be a good retirement savings to have a comfortable retirement. And my question has to do with that. Is that $500,000 per person or per couple? Does the $500,000, is it in a vacuum or does it include Social Security? Does it include a pension? Does it include taxable savings?
Okay. Let me go through this. Let me go through this for a second. So, Rick, what you're asking is actually a deeper and broader question, and it has to do with, let's say, just the math of $500,000, and then it also has to do with the psychological level that $500,000 provides. And again, this is in general for most of America. So if you're listening in Georgia and you're listening in Texas and Oklahoma and Arizona, Portland, let's call it Oregon and Portland, Maine, these numbers probably do make a lot of sense. If you're on the island of Manhattan or on the coast of Laguna Beach, then you look at me and you say $500,000. Hey, Wes, that's nothing. I can't buy a porta potty for $500,000 out here, right? So it depends on where you live in the country, but my book speaks to the averages in America. So let's take out the outlier cities that are extremely expensive to live in. And these numbers really do make a lot of sense. So we have two sides of this, Rick. You've got the financial side, so the math really, and you've got the psychological side. Those are the two things that we're trying to solve for. And that's what the book is about. It's about money and it's really about happiness, that the money that your finances should provide you to have the comfort to go out and have. It's really about peace of mind, right? And then about being able to spend and do the things you want to do when you want to do them on your timeline. And that's why I think there's such an important marriage between those two. And that's why I spent so much time trying to figure out that relationship. And that's the core of the book. But here's what the $5,000 or the $500,000 mark from a financial side gets most Americans. I've got a rule of thumb that has to do, and by the way, here's the other quick caveat before I get to the math. Wall Street doesn't want you to ever feel like there's an attainable benchmark, Rick. So remember the ING ads that were the big orange numbers that you'd carry around? Hey, what's your number? $1.2 million. And Bill across the hedge who's trimming his bushes has a $2.6 million number. What's your number? Well, it's got to be a really big one because a million isn't what it used to be, right? Now, instead of a million, you need $2 million a year. So the Wall Street churn and let's call it the Wall Street factory of continuing to grow exponentially every year because of publicly traded companies, they need to grow earnings. And you can't blame them for this, is that more and more and more is the answer. It's not a million anymore. It's a million and a half. It's certainly not a half a million. It's 2 million. It's 2.5 million. And that's the, I'm not going to call it propaganda, but they've got a vested interest to say that you just got to keep going in order to be comfortable, right? What I find in the book here is that there's a certain level that we can get to where your quote happiness or your peace of mind doesn't necessarily get a whole lot better because you've already built an appropriate foundation. And once you're there, a lot of it is gravy on top. And think of it this way. If you're making, and this is an extreme example, does more money make you more happy? Let's look at an extreme example. If you have $10 million, let's say, of course, in America, you can do anything you want forever, right? Is there any impact psychologically now that if you have all of a sudden now you have $20 million? The answer is no, right? Because it doesn't matter. You've already hit this giant plateau. And there's something very similar about that $500,000 marker, if you will. And here's why the math part of it works, Rick, is that on average in America, you've got a husband and a wife, and they both have worked for many years, and they both get Social Security. And your average Social Security payment, I think the number is $1,300 or $1,400 per person in America. The clients I work with, it's probably a little higher than that because we're in a metro Atlanta, or we're in a big city like Houston, or in Phoenix, let's say, and I typically see social payments in, let's call it the 1800 range, right? Well, let's do that times two. So husband and wife, that's $1,800 a month. Okay. Not a gigantic amount of money, but you multiply that by two. Now you're at $3,600 a month. Well, that's a lot of money. Times 12. Now you're at $43,000 a year. Well, okay. That starts to pay for something. Then I take $500,000 and I look at over the course of my retirement history. And in the beginning, I want to take as little as I can, knowing that as I get older into my 80s and hopefully 90s, I can take a higher percentage because my life expectancy is going down. So let's just use a rule of thumb, 5% withdrawal rate over time. $500,000 and 5% is 25, $25,000, right? So $500,000 at a 5% average withdrawal rate, it's 25 grand. Mm-hmm. And now 25,000. So that's for the family, Rick, to answer your question, not per person, for the family. Mm-hmm. So that means another 25 in income. So I've got my 43 from social and another 25 from social or from your investment income. Now I'm at $68,000 pre-tax. I've got to pay some taxes on that. But if I don't have a mortgage in America, and that's another why it's not, there's several components to making all this work within the book. One of them is to eliminate the mortgage by the time you stop working. But if you have no mortgage and you've got $68,000 a year coming in, for a lot of families, that's a pretty good number. It's a pretty livable number over time. And that's part of the math side of this, Rick. So does that make sense now? And then again, that's why having multiple income streams is also really important in retirement. And those of you and us that are fortunate enough or lucky enough or smart enough to have a pension, which they're fewer and far between, they're more and more, they're rare, and they continue to be more rare. But if you have another pension, let's say you have a small pension of $1,000 a month, now your 68,000 is add another 12 and now you're at 80,000 a year. And that's how I see families in America effectively cobble together a pretty darn nice income. Yeah. And with no mortgage to speak of, which is another gigantic feat in itself. It's easy to say, oh, just get rid of your mortgage, Wes. Oh, well, I know that it's not something that happens overnight. It takes many, many years to do that. Like all of this takes a lot of years and a lot of planning, but you put those pieces together and that formula, which again, most of it is just a bunch of common sense all linked together. 500 grand is a really important number to get to. because it helps supplement social. And if you have a pension, all of a sudden, hey, we've got enough money to pretty much do whatever we want to do. And not to mention, as I get into retirement, my net number goes way up. Because as I'm working, you're the husband and wife, you're both earning, and you're both in your highest earning years, and you're in your late 50s, your early 60s, you're getting hit the hardest with the highest overall marginal tax rate, right? And FICA and state tax, and you're paying 25 or 30% a year in taxes. Then you shift into a lower income need when you're in retirement, and you're not paying FICA anymore because you don't have any wage income, and you're paying much less in state tax. Like in Georgia, when you're 65, you get a $65,000 income exemption from state tax, and there's tax-friendly states like Tennessee and Florida. Now your net goes from, or you go from paying 30% in taxes to paying 10 to 15%. So you may have a lower gross number of income in retirement, but the same net because your taxes are a heck of a lot lower. That's how all these pieces of the puzzle, Rick, come together in the book. And that's the financial side. That's the math we just did. But it's also that psychological side because my foundation has been built. And as long as I adhere to these common sense principles and I don't get too aggressive on my withdrawal rate within retirement, and that's, again, easier said than done. All these are easily said, a little harder to actually do. Then that psychological foundation that I've built with $500,000, which is a substantial amount of money, it's not $5 million, it's $500,000, then I put those two pieces together and I've got the math and I've got the psychological side together. And that's what I'm trying to help people with.
Well, thanks so much for all you do.
All right, Rick, take care of a great rest of your Sunday. I feel like it's basketball season, but it's really not. There's just one game left. Is that a Monday night game or Tuesday night, Scott Maxim?
It is a Monday night game, and I think tip-off is around 9 p.m.
That's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Gosh, it just seems March Madness is just over, just like that. So with that, we're going to continue to take your calls, questions. We still have to talk about yield at cost. I'll give you an example on it from a large defense company. As soon as we come back. So quick news, weather, traffic, then more money matters. An example.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We're going to cover a concept that ties in with dividend investing that's extremely important. It's called yield at cost. So the normal yield is I have a dividend of $2 a share, and my stock is, I'm making this up now as we go, $2 a share, and that's what I get paid per year, and the cost of that stock is $45, so I have a 4.4% yield. That's the math. It's $2 divided by 45 bucks, right? This concept, yield at cost, refers to your current cash flow, so the current dividend you get today, so 2016, relative to what you originally paid for the shares. It's also a huge newsletter clickbait trick. How do you get a 30 to 40% yield on a blue chip company? I've heard these radio ads and I've seen these clickbait ads on the internet that say, how to get a 30% yield on a blue chip company? Well, that can't happen today. It can happen over the course of a decade or two or three, but it doesn't just happen today. Here's an example. Lockheed Martin today pays $6.60 a share, right? If you buy it today, it's only a 3% yield. That's not only is a pretty healthy yield in today's world, but you have to pay $223 to buy Lockheed. So you take $6.60, that's the dividend, the cash flow, divided by 223, that's the price. You get 2.96% as of today. So call it 3%. 10 years ago, Lockheed was $71 a share. Now, back then, it paid a lot less. It paid $1.30. Back then, the yield was about 1.8%, call it around 2. So not that different than it is today. But today's price is $223. That's a huge rate of return price-wise. So it's about a 207% rate of return over 10 years. But look at your yield at cost, because I have to take my current dividend today and divide that from what I paid for shares back then if I've held it all these years. and all these years, I'm only going back 10. So I take 660, that's the current annual payment I get for owning shares, divided by what I paid 10 years ago, which was $71. That math is a little different. That's a 9.3% yield. It doesn't yield today 9.3 for what I'm paying for it at today's price, but if I held it for the last 10 years, I'm getting a 9.3% yield on what I originally paid for it. And that's the concept of yield at cost. Very, very important. If you go all the way back to the year 2000, so we're going back 16 years now, my yield at cost is $26. I'm sorry, 26%. All right, with that, more Money Matters. Your calls, your questions in the 10 o'clock hour, 404-872-0750. Find me at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.